Welcome, everyone. This is episode 11 of Teams Fridays. I've literally just finished editing episode 10. I'm sorry, Michael. You keep reminding me that I do need to up my editing game and do it a lot faster, but I've been busy. I'm sorry. We've been doing a boot camp anyway. Can I have an excuse? No. So today we're joined, well, I'm joined by Michael Tresler, and we have a special guest.
The most special.
Very special.
When's the special guest joining?
I don't know.
Next week. Michael, we're going to have Bill Barzilay next week talking about Surface Hub. Until then, we're honored to have Randy Chapman.
Yes. Hey, Randy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you for joining us at very late notice. We appreciate you jumping into Teams Friday, so thank you very much.
Yeah, it was a little chat message. Hey, how you doing? Are you around? Do you want to join something fun? Okay.
And here we
are. It's not fun, but whatever. We do our best. We try. How was your trip to Enterprise Connect?
It was really cool. Yeah, I mean, the first time I've been to Enterprise Connect. First time I've spoken at a in-person conference in a good little while, and one of the bigger audiences that I had. So that was, yeah, I kind of ticked a bunch of boxes there. It was really good. Enterprise Connect, I thought, was kind of cool. It was kind of cool. It was actually really cool. It was a big conference, run over several days. It's been around for quite a long time, and I met quite a few rock stars in the speaker room and around, kind of networking. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I heard on your podcast, which, by the way, for people who don't know, Randy, check out ucstatus.com. You mentioned you had, what, 150 people or something in your
thing? I thought so, yeah, something like that. It was quite a big room, set up classroom style. So if it was set up with kind of theater style, supposedly it holds about 560, but I couldn't see 560 people coming to see little old me. But yeah, I was happy with the number. I thought it was good. A lot of really good feedback. Jamie Stark was in the back. Actually gave me some good feedback. Yeah, there you go. So.
Yeah, so, and then otherwise, your trip to Orlando and Kissimmee, good times? Anything interesting you saw, experienced, or was it just you came in for a couple of days and flew right back out?
No, I was there for a week. I did try and get a Disney ticket, but apparently you have to book ahead of time.
Still.
Yeah, so the earliest I could get a ticket would have been the Saturday, which was after I got home already, so... Yeah, it was a bit disappointing because it was my 50th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Going to do the kind of Star Wars land at Hollywood Studios around then. But no, sadly, I didn't get to do that. And then I looked at Universal tickets and they were £200 or $200. And I thought, no.
Why didn't I know it was your birthday? I would have sent you I would have bought you a beer.
You probably bought me a beer anyway at that party you ended
indirectly. I mean, just there was the Logitech one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Logitech, any news there with Logitech? You know, great Microsoft partner. They make keyboards and mice.
They've had a new hire. I understand.
I'm sure a company like that always does. Anybody good?
Yeah. There's a guy that used to do Link and Skype for Business and Teams and stuff.
They're definitely good. Definitely good.
Yeah. He joined Monday this week. It was me.
Hey,
if you're not getting the clue, it was me. I'm coming to the end of my first week at Logitech as a solutions engineer, working in the video collaboration space. So Microsoft Teams rooms, you know, all the video products, audio products, that sort of thing. So yeah, really pleased to be here.
Did you also do panels and things like that, or is it pretty much just the core Teams rooms on Android
with the room? Yeah, everything in the kind of room ecosystem or video collaboration space. So yeah, the Teams panel, the Scribe, all of the cameras, the audio, room systems on Android, Windows, even headsets and the Logidock and, you know, all that kind of stuff is kind of fair game, really.
So without making this a Logitech marketing podcast, yeah. What attracted you to Logitech? What, like, is it the technology, the people, the space, like, you know, in the least marketing way possible? Why did you?
Yeah, kind of all of the above. There? I mean, they're a brand that I mean, let's face it, everybody has, a lot of people have, I should say, Logitech keyboards and mice and probably webcams. The Brio is pretty famous as a webcam in general. You know, obviously it got some good numbers. Yeah, Tresler's holding up a Logitech mouse. I've got the new MX Master 3 for business here as well. Figure out which camera. Yeah, and is that the one with the knob?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got one of those as well. I got
Sculpt.
One Wednesday. Yeah, the I've got one of them. I've got the Brio.
Anyway, so but
I've got
so,
the light. But I've got the dock. I've got the heads. Yeah, all
it's
of
a
it,
keyboard but. And mouse company. Why are you joining a keyboard and mouse company?
Well, obviously they got into the SRS space early on with the Logidock, that thing that you put a Surface Hub Surface Pro into.
Is he going to go get one out of his cupboard? Yes, he is. Look at it, and it's turned on.
Yeah, so there you go. He's got an MTR on Windows running on a Surface Pro inside of a plastic dock. Yeah, and it was the first of kind of the, I guess, the migration over from LRS at the time. And Logi, Crestron, and Poly put their hands up. I don't remember ever seeing the Crestron version of it.
No, nor do I really. I remember the Logi one because
I remember the Logi one. That was really popular. I know Microsoft bought an absolute ton of them.
Yeah, because we had a lot of those, I remember.
And then Poly kind of came along a little bit later than they'd planned. Crestron, as I said, I don't remember them coming out with one. And then from there, I guess there was an unofficial version 3, and everybody, all the vendors kind of went away from the dock kind of thing and went to the Nook and some sort of touch panel. And, you know, Logi had their Tap. Not to be confused with the Microsoft Technology Adoption Program, but it's the Tap because you tap on
or it. how you get a quality beer.
Or how you get a quality beer, yeah, out of a tap. Yeah, yeah. And yeah, they obviously have a lot of peripherals and things. They've got a huge number of devices. Really what kind of got me to notice really was their Android story, the Rally Bar Mini. And now the Roommate, which is just freshly certified, standalone Android codec that you plug in whatever audio and video you want. Really cool. I think what will be a good evolution of the Microsoft Teams Rooms on Android story, taking it from the collab bar, as it was originally known, because it was in a bar format. Now you got a standalone codec. You can plug in any room, any size room, I think. And it was all those devices that kind of got me to notice. I would, you know, for the last 2 years or so, I've been working pretty much exclusively, about 95% of my time on Teams Rooms for a partner called Simity. Many people know I was there for a while and got a lot of customers to sign up. I worked with Martin here on the hybrid workshops for hybrid meetings, workshops and things, trying to get those approved by the team there. Did a couple of dozen of them, I think. And yeah, it was a really good story. So yeah, great respect for Logi as always in all the things they do. And as I said, it's those things that kind of attracted me to it. And also I knew a bunch of people that worked here and everybody says it's a great culture and company to work for. So yeah, can't be bad.
Yeah, they seem to be fine. I gave some internal training to Logi, and in exchange, they sent me a bunch of toys. So I'm a big fan.
You're a big fan. Yeah.
Hey, Mike, can you give us some training? Yes. Do you want some toys? I do.
Yeah.
But to be fair, that wasn't like a paywall or a graph thing. It was, hey, if you're going to train us, please train us on our devices. So, I need some of your devices. So if I do demos and whatever, I can do that on your devices, as opposed to, hey, here's training, here's how Yealink works. I'm like, wait, what?
That would have gone down really well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess if you're showing them a phone, not that they really want to see a phone, because Logi don't make phones. So. Yeah.
What's the Logi Mate? Was it the Roommate?
Roommate.
Yeah. What's roommate. That?
So I'm going to explain it. Rainey, you tell me how wrong I am. The Logi Roommate is basically a full-blown Teams Rooms, but instead of using a Windows compute module, you're using an Android compute module. So the problem if it is really, it's not really a problem. The limitation of Team Drums on Android is it's pretty much all the the speaker microphone are on the wall by the display, and you can't scale that out very easily. There are some vendors that have some options, but with the Roommate, you can then use their full Rally Plus kit, which can get you into an executive board sized room with microphone pucks on the desk and speakers, you know, dual speakers and things like that, as opposed to what you get in a bar hanging on the wall. And then they've also partnered with a few pro audio people, like QSC, so you can then actually get to enterprise professional grade audio, so like really high end audio, which you cannot do with the traditional Cloud Bar format. So Roommate, God bless them, has forced me to change about 9 slides in my training, where it was simple. Teams Rooms on Android for small and mid-sized rooms. It's all a modular system. Teams Rooms Window is a distributed system. It can scale up to auditoriums. And now I'm like, oh, I got to edit all these slides because of the Roommate.
Yeah. And they were the first one with a device like that to be certified, to be fair to the market. Obviously, there's a competitor with Poly. And they've got a device that's going through certification, the G7500. It's taking its time, but eventually, in the fullness of time, I guess it could be certified. And and I would imagine other vendors will follow suit. But yeah, Logi was there first with the device. And yeah, I think it's really exciting for the whole Android side. I think customers, from the conversations I've had for the last couple of years, customers tend to avoid the Android side. One, there's a limitation on room size, as you just said. But two, it's just the misunderstanding on how to govern, manage, do all that.
I mean, we're working on that internally at Microsoft, getting the govern how to best do that, how to best manage Android, as it's relatively new. But I always find it interesting. People are like, oh, we won't have that. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying anyone's right or wrong. But it always just seems to me the security story is much easier on Android because it's a much smaller footprint of attack, and we haven't had 30 years of Windows attacks to go at. So it just seems to me like you hear, oh, our security department doesn't allow Android on the network. I'm like, okay, an Android mobile phone is one point, sure. But this is an appliance that you can't install any apps on it. You can't connect to it. It's a closed, it's basically as close as you can get to like the closed Apple walled garden, except it's even more closed because you can't, in Apple world, you can at least install Angry Birds on your phone. Here, you can't even do that on these. No, exactly. So I don't know.
And then you ask, do you have any Teams phones, you know, Android phones there? They're running Android, by the way. You know, are you running any room panels? Are you running any, you know, Teams displays? Are you running, you know, so come on. You know, it's a room system, hardened appliance. You can't install anything. Yep. It's not a case that your InfoSec won't make it work. They don't want to go through the trouble of trying to figure out how to make it work.
It's trouble.
That's just my take on it.
Admittedly, it's trouble. There's a lot you have to set up, but I have videos out there, and we've got docs articles starting to come out to help.
Yeah, conditional access. I saw that was there as, and there's some improvements coming to conditional access for device-based stuff, and obviously MEM and all of that as well. So I just think it's time for people to really stand up and notice. To be honest, I think if you look at room systems traditionally, they used to be a Linux device, and it's kind of a black box that had a video camera plugged into it, and nobody really understood what was going on underneath, and nobody really had to care.
And you had to be on the Crestron world, a master programmer to configure and take advantage, you know, to do all the stuff. I'm not saying those are super hard to use, but if you really want to go to town, you had to get a title.
Somebody. You had to get somebody that flew in by business class because they were that important to actually, you know, sort of program the whole thing. But yeah, there was this black box that just nobody understood. They were used and they're very expensive at the time. And I think Android, I just think, you know, it can go back to really simple things. And, you know, it's been really good excuses for a long time with the feature parity side of things. You know, Android was, when it first came out, it was a collab bar. It was for small huddle spaces or very small meeting rooms and things. You used a remote control to get into a meeting or poke around the screen to type in someone's name or whatever. And now we've got touch consoles. and feature parity is almost there. There's a few things that are still missing. Direct guest join, which probably on the roadmap. You know, layouts like front row, I can imagine that might come to Android at some point. Yeah. Multi-camera, that just launched in Windows. I'm not sure how many people are actually taking advantage of that in Windows for them to complain that Android doesn't have it yet. But, you know, I can imagine that might come. So if the feature story is there, and the fact that you can put it in really any size room, what excuses are left?
Martin, what excuses left?
I don't think of any.
See, there you go.
There you go. Martin gives you the seal of approval.
There'll always be something when, you know, one's got something that the other one hasn't, unless they're 100% true feature parity. But Android's definitely come a long way. When you look at the docs article for Teams Rooms on Windows, whether it's comparison with Teams Rooms on Android, and when you've gone side by side, you know, available, coming soon. And I think the last Teams Rooms on Android update bought quite a lot as well. Is it with the Teams Rooms on Android when you have a panel that you can do the auto check-in or something? And that's only available on Android at the moment and coming soon to Windows.
So, well, the scheduling panel has the check-in button, and what you can do is you can tell it to basically decline the meeting if you haven't checked in after a certain amount of time, and that's configurable, kind of 5-10 minutes up to an hour or something like that. No, not sure why you'd want to leave it an hour, because, you know, by then the next meeting is probably scheduled and started, but it means it frees it up for somebody that is looking for a room, either on an ad hoc basis to go and just press reserve, or actually just looking in the free busy data to see if there's a room that's nearby that's actually free for scheduling. I think that's a good thing. But also then pairing it, as you said, to the Android device in the room, and actually doing that kind of knock-knock side of things, I think is really cool.
Yes.
It actually puts up a thing on the in-room display to say that people are waiting outside.
Yeah, you haven't got to knock on the window anymore and give those awkward looks.
Usually it's like somebody just walks in and goes, hey, it's, you know, 2 minutes after. It's our time for the room.
Yeah.
Knock-knock is clearly for the culture, not an American culture, let's put it that way. I don't think I've been in an American meeting where if the previous meeting runs like 2 or 3 minutes late, somebody doesn't poke their head in and go, yo, not sure. Knock, knock is polite, but come on, we got the room. We got meetings too. Go get out of here. But,
how do you in the US go and approach that then? Do you just open the door and go, right, get out?
Just open the door. Yeah. You just open the door. Hey, can you go? And then if you see if it's a super senior VP, you're like, oh, we'll find another room. But in 90% of the cases, it's not. And people are just like, oh yeah, we've run over. Sorry. Okay, let's get out. Let's get out of here. But I could see very much a cultural thing where it's just, you know, that is impolite. And so you hit the knock knock thing and people get the message and it's like, hey, you know, we've politely told you we're outside waiting. So could you politely get out?
So. Teams casting just launched to GA. That's a cool feature.
Yeah, again, that's, again, device adjacent. But yeah, I actually played with that this morning because the question came through and I wanted to be completely accurate. Well, definitely on the Windows side. But one, I was able to cast to Android, Teams Rooms on Android, Teams Rooms on Windows, and Surface Hub. They all answered. And it does spin up like an ad hoc meeting. And then you can, that's what the person's question was. Does it really open an ad hoc meeting where you can invite other people? Yes.
Yeah,
that's what I did want to verify, that it wasn't some weird mode of, oh, we're just going to present. And so, nope, that's what it does. Creates an ad hoc meeting and just shares your screen in. So it just simplifies the steps. Ultimately, all it does is simplify the steps of starting a meeting and going to the share icon and sharing your screen. Though when you do a cast, it asks you, what do you want to share? So that step is still.
Yeah, it opens up the same share tray that you get as well. It's not like a limited, like on mobile. You can share your screen or you can share a PowerPoint. And obviously there's going to be limitations. You can't share, you know, Angry Birds as an app that's running in space or something like that. But, you know, obviously Windows, you get a bit more. So you could cast a whiteboard session. You could cast just an app, a screen, a PowerPoint, whatever you want. You get the whole share tray, which is cool. As you said, it's Windows and Android.
Yep.
The question we've got, though, is, does it require that you're on the same Teams?
No.
Team? No.
No. Because I am I'm on my Microsoft laptop, signed into Teams right now with my Microsoft account, and I was able to cast to my personal tenant. All my devices at home are on my personal tenant, so I was able to cast from Microsoft to Teams Devices Lab. And the point of that is you know, you're a salesperson coming in off the street. So you're working for Logitech, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got your presentation on your laptop, and you're visiting a customer. Why should you have to spin up a meeting? Just, hey, let's just go to a Teams room and I'll just cast from my laptop directly onto your devices if they have that feature enabled.
Yeah. So I think the other improvement that could come in the fullness of time, hopefully, would be somebody doesn't have Teams. You know, they fire up a web page or something and cast that way anonymously.
Well, someone doesn't have Teams. What are you talking about?
Well,
someone doesn't have Teams.
There's going to be three people, you know.
Well, I guess
it's like, I'm not a Zoom person, but I've got the Zoom client on my desktop. I may have uninstalled it.
Let's rephrase that. So maybe they don't use Teams. Maybe they haven't signed up for Teams just yet. but it doesn't stop them going to, you know, whatever the AKA is and actually downloading the Teams client just for the purpose of casting.
Yeah. I mean, the whole point of casting is that you don't have to, it's free essentially. If you've already got Teams rooms, it doesn't cost any additional hardware. And a lot of people have Teams rooms and then buy those barcode plugins, or Yowlink has some equivalents, and you plug those in, and that, but now you've had to pay for a hardware piece, but it does save having to download software. So, it's a good solution.
Yeah, I think it is. It's super, super interesting. I was testing it in Tap and signed it off immediately. It just worked. I've even got a blog post drafted that I just need to go and sanity check and make sure that doesn't have anything that didn't actually make the cut on GA and then press publish. So, and then at some point I'll get around to doing a video on it.
There you go. I need to do some videos. Martin, what's your favorite new feature? Music on hold for voice over IP calls?
That one. Where is that one? So that one is an interesting one because I think I did see an update about the Teams phone devices can do music on hold with VoIP. Because that's been, I don't think that's been there for a while, but there's a new software update for the Teams phone desk phones. Which brings in the music on hold for them as well, for VoIP calls. That's a pretty big one for customers using the desk phones. I'm pretty certain it is on the desk phones. If not, I'll edit this out. But I'm pretty certain it's there. The other one that caught my eye was roaming bandwidth control.
So CAC is back.
CAC is back, yes.
Guess who's back? CAC is back.
So now as admins, you can set dynamic bandwidth policies based upon the geographic location of your user's Teams client. So
you didn't practice that, did you?
So CAC, it was in Linked Skype for Business, call admission control.
Yeah.
So we could apply policies based on locations and links and say if a user is out in Timbuktu, then we can apply a policy to them and reduce their audio video I think bit rates in call admission control. So now this is in Teams and in the Teams admin center. Looks like it's under locations network topology, and you can go and create roaming bandwidth control policies. So in the tech community blog, it says this capability allows admins to set more limited bandwidth controls and disable video calls when users are in remote or bandwidth constrained locations to protect the reliability of the connection. So I worked with a few customers that had a few sites back in Skype for Business days, and we did implement call admission control. And now this is on Teams. So I saw a few tweets about this. So I've seen, you know, you can even set with call admission control, you could set capacity limits. So you can only have so many audio calls of this size over this network link. We all, there was always the setting in Call It Mission Control where you could have that one person that could overwrite that Call It Mission Control policy. So even though the bandwidth is, you know, it could be highly saturated and you could have a poor call, you could still allow your special person to overwrite that policy, but they may have a poor experience. But yeah, that's one of the other calling updates, which is awesome to see in Teams Admin Center. I think that's been long awaited for a few people.
Yeah, I'd say so. Speaking of Enterprise Connect, did you see the highlights from Enterprise Connect blog as well?
We did, no. Yeah.
There's quite a lot of stuff on there as well. Operator Connect Mobile. What do you think of that?
Ah, yeah, that's interesting. The more I learn about it, the more interesting it becomes. So in short, Operator Connect Mobile lets you take your Teams number, essentially, and put it on your SIM card. Or put another way, you reach out to your telco, get a SIM card with a number assigned to it, and it is now your Teams number, which means you can use your native dialer. You don't have to open the Teams app to make a phone call. And then the operator on the back end flags it as a team number, sends call detail records to Microsoft, so we can then go into your tenant, so you can then, you know, for governance reasons, see all the phone calls a certain person made because they have to track all their phone calls.
Yeah.
But it starts getting a little more interesting when you can then, you know, start the call on your mobile device completely outside of Teams, go into the office, and then elevate that call to pretty smoothly straight to a native Teams call. That's an integration that I think is really interesting. So it emulates what you do with the Teams client, right? You make a phone call on your Teams client, then come into the office and elevate that to your Windows PC or Mac or whatever, but doing it from a kind of straight up PSTN call.
Mm.
A PSTN phone number and elevating it. That's very interesting. Some people have concerns. It's that, okay, so the company, I have a company phone, essentially. If you have a dual SIM, you could then have your personal phone number and the company phone number, then dial from whichever one you yep. wanted to yeah. with a dual SIM. But some people don't have dual SIMs or don't know those exist or have older phones or whatever. So I think the primary use case would be you get a company phone and here's a phone number and it is all Teamsified at that point. At least the calling is all Teamsified. The fixed mobile convergence, if you know about that catchphrase, that's what we're talking about here.
It's a really Teams. Old catchphrase. It's been around for a while. Yeah. Everybody thinks they want it. And then we use the terms. But then we use the term single number reach, which arguably you have. If you've got the Teams on your mobile and right. you've got a DDI, you use that as your single number to be reached. So kind of why do you need the mobile number instead of a real number? But I don't know. We'll see. I think in the States it kind of makes more sense because the mobile number is just the number. It could be the next in line from your house phone number. But in the UK and across Europe, mobile numbers are completely different.
Yeah, it's essentially putting in an American or actually a North American numbering plan. Let's not forget our Canadian friends and those in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
In Europe, you have basically area codes that are dedicated to mobile phone ranges.
Yes.
So when a call comes in, you know immediately it's a mobile number. Now you could, I don't know. I'm not going to say that. Other fun things, Teams Admin Center, you can now see all of the teams that a user belongs to, which I think is really a nice touch. Previously, I had to go into every team and see if the user was there. So let me join every team in the company, then open every single team's membership and see if the user's there. I'm sure you could automate it via PowerShell or Graph. But we have now taken care of that. So you can go to Teams Admin Center, click on the user and see all the teams they're a member of, and then, you know, go from there. So very useful, as well as the ability to export all of the teams in your organization. So administrators can export teams and user lists as a CSV file and then do stuff with it. Sprinkle some Power Automate or Power BI on it and see what's going on. So I think that's a very useful touch.
Definitely. I think that's a good touch. Yeah. Did I see as well that CIFA Util's back?
No. Good God,
I have
no.
heard that it's coming back.
Mm.
I don't know if it's fully back though.
No.
What horribleness are you trying to spread? I mean, Teams is a modern platform. It doesn't need
I heard
was Jamie it secondary extension forwarding administrator utility?
That's right.
Was CIFA stood for?
Yeah.
Second extension forwarding.
No, it's not exactly CIFA util. You don't have to use the command line or James Cusson's wonderful tool from back in the day. But effectively, you've got the ability to configure, or you will very shortly configure people's call forwarding and that sort of thing in the Teams admin center.
Yeah, that is really nice. You can go to the user, go to their calling settings, and you can change your delegation and other things like that. So if they're away, if they're unable to make those changes, then an administrator can do that.
Yeah.
There's a couple of updates for webinars as well. Automated webinar invite. So as webinars are set up, invites are sent to attendees to register. And now the invite will now be automatically added to the attendees calendar. So I think I've seen that as a top requested thing about webinars, and also domain customization for webinars as well.
So does the webinar actually change if you change some details, or sorry, the invite change when you change in details actually in the webinar itself? So like if you move the time or something like that, or is it just an ICS file that that gets dropped into the calendar?
No, I haven't played with this. So it just says they will now automatically be added to the attendees calendar, making it easy to plan ahead and remember when the event takes place. So that's very helpful for a webinar. But yeah, I don't know how it's the details. Maybe it isn't either an ICS, or don't know if you change it. And then the domain customization says that the confirmation emails sent to the attendees who are informed, the sender name and domain email will now include the tenant's name. This will make it easy for attendees to register to recognize who is sending the communications for the event. So I think I've seen that as a roadmap item as well. So it looks like that's coming under meetings. Some others for meetings. The auto expiration of meeting recordings stored in OneDrive and SharePoint is here again.
Yeah, I started getting the notifications for old recordings.
Yeah.
The only thing I record are my podcast episodes, but seeing some of those drop off.
Yeah, so that's rolling out in March. I've seen that on the blog quite a lot of times. Auto answer meeting invites with video on iOS.
Yeah, it's interesting. You can do this on Teams Rooms Android right now. So whenever you invite the Teams Rooms Android, it'll automatically answer the call, possibly turn on video. And they're pushing this to the iOS client. Interesting that it's not iOS and Android, mobile. But so at that point, the idea is then iOS, the example they give in the blog post is the medical world. So you're in the hospital, you just have to pick up the phone. You don't have to hit a button to answer and then turn on your video. You just pick up your device and start talking to the doctor or
the orderly. I mean, I can see that being useful in that scenario. But what if you're just a user that, is just going to answer his phone? It turns on video awkward. And there.
Oh, look, Mike's at the bar again.
The golf course. Looks,
yeah, it says it's disabled by default. It has to be enabled. But yeah, right. I think there is specific scenarios where.
Why is it every time we call Mike when he has his calendar that says focus time, he's at the bar? I'm like, that's my focus time.
Just looking at the roadmap. So when I go and see what's changed in the last month. And if I look at calling, some new items added to the roadmap: delete call history, exchange contacts available in calling pickers, and custom banner for emergency calling. So I think a partner reached out about the emergency calling one, and I think setting your location and things, they wanted to customize the banner, so that's now been added to the roadmap. And for devices, our favorite topic, it seems, Teams Rooms Managed Services, bulk suppression of rooms enrolled in managed services, and mobile companion app will be added to Teams Rooms Managed Services.
The mobile companion app seems like a good idea if you have as this product is expanding beyond just Teams Rooms. I think it's good to be able to be on the road or have a lunch or have focus time at the bar. And if something comes up, you can, look at your devices using a mobile app. So I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, at the moment, if you want to go to the Microsoft Teams Room premium portal, you just go in a web browser and it's not really
great, which is fine.
It's not really mobile optimized, but
yeah, mobile app would be. And the last one I've got that was added last month is restore present button on Teams Rooms on Windows. What's that about? Did the present button go?
Randy, you know anything about that?
Yeah, it's that really controversial Cortana versus the
don't say her name. God bless thing. It. You said her name. Now I got to hit cancel on five things.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah.
Then I'm going to get you back. Hey, Cortana. What's the weather in London? There you go. You're welcome.
Doesn't know the answer.
So did that go away and now we want it back? Was this
it
replaced?
Let's hear the external third party opinion on this.
So recently, and I don't remember which version of the update happened, basically Courtney button suddenly appeared on the Teams Room main page. So if you look at the Teams Room, you've got it was new meeting. I think it was dial. Then there was present initially. Now what you have is Courtney, and then they changed the logo to make it kind of that, I don't know, ring type of thing over the word. And what they did was they took the present button and then they relegated it under more. So if you wanted to go and just present to the room without going into a meeting or starting an ad hoc meeting or whatever else, you have to go more and then you have to go present. And that was really controversial. One, there are mixed opinions about Courtney, we'll say. We're replacing the word Cortana with Courtney.
Oh, geez, there you go. Cancel. The Microsoft Assistant, your friend and
there's mixed opinions about the Microsoft Assistant, particularly in meeting rooms. I mean, I'm of the opinion that it's a good thing to have for accessibility reasons. You know, if you can't touch the touch console or you can't see it or something like that, being able to use the voice assistant to call somebody to join your next meeting, to end the meeting, you know, to do things like, you know, that are useful, I think it's a good thing. But does it need a push to talk button on the screen to make it work? Well, if it already answers to voice commands, then why do you need a button for it?
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Why can't you just have the button relegated under more and have present on the main screen? So Microsoft, it seems, listened to a lot of the feedback off the back of I did a blog post and I think I even did a special podcast episode on it. Yeah, another version is coming out of the Teams Room app where they're actually doing both. Is that right?
Yeah, so it says...
Yes, why not both?
It says the present button moves back to the Teams Room's console home screen and will be named Share.
Not as in Sunny and?
Yeah. So they're trying to turn back time, are they?
Yes, they're trying to turn very well done. And so the button is just going to be like a black and white icon of a lady with long hair. So when you want to present into a meeting, you press share.
I didn't even get that first time. So Courtney, push to talk button is moved to the bottom of the home screen, allowing users to continue using Courtney seamlessly while presenting HDMI content from a Teams Rooms device console.
I've seen one mock-up internally, and it looks nice. It looks how you would hope it to be, and not just like, oh, we just moved this giant button right down in the middle somewhere. I've only seen one display there. Right, there's, I saw a view when meetings are already scheduled. Right, so you have the panel of meetings on the left, and then on the right you have the three or four buttons. I haven't seen it when there are no meetings scheduled, but yeah, it's good.
It's got your stamp of approval.
Sure. My stamp carries nothing because I'm not at all in the design of this. But I saw a picture, and the picture looks good. So
there you go. So that's GA March this month.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. They need to update that. That's unless you call TAP GA, at which point yes, it's generally available to our TAP community. One thing that is pretty new. Is there a date on when this was published? No. And I know, Martin, you're interested in this. Broadcast audio and video from Teams with RTMP, real-time messaging protocol. So you can now, and this is GA, because I'm looking at a public article on support.microsoft.com. Your Teams meetings can be easily broadcast to endpoints like LinkedIn, YouTube, and Twitch. So if we did want to do this as a live podcast, and then Martin wouldn't have to blow off editing this for a week or two and then finally edit it in a rush, we could do it live and then just people could watch the YouTube video of it. So pretty cool. It's we saw an internal presentation. I know, Rain, did you see that as well at MVP Summit, the RTMP session?
Yeah, more than likely. Yeah. And I tested it in TAP as well. I had 43 sessions marked for watching and I still haven't got through all of them. I watched as many as I could live and then still have a bunch to actually still get through.
Yep. So I think RTMP is really cool and they have plans that we can't talk about publicly about other cool things that they're going to do with this. So
I did actually test it in TAP and it does work really well. It's relatively basic. It just kind of what you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. It's almost like Teams recording. So you can't
very much so, right?
Yeah, you can't control how the layout works or anything like that. It's basically the whole Teams meeting just gets pushed out to Twitch or LinkedIn or whatever. Yeah.
Which why it would be cool to control, like an OBS kind of layout thing. I want Randy up here and Martin down here and me hidden. It'd be nice to do that, but
lower thirds and
I don't know if I have a full expectation of that. I'm like, I'm just, here's our Teams meeting. Here's our town hall. Here's our product launch, whatever. And we'll just stream it straight to YouTube and it's good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'll be popular for certain organizations. In the UK, there is an expectation that councils now have to broadcast their town halls publicly. There you go. And, they either buy in the services of some organization that puts in hardware and a bunch of other, stuff, have camera operators and, all of those sort of things, or they go old school, as you mentioned, OBS Studio, run it on a laptop and do RTMP out to there and then broadcast from OBS. But in there, at least, as you said, you can control the layout. You can put a background, a frame around it, lower thirds, introducing speakers, even use Stream Deck and, go between different scenes and different presenters and all kinds of other things. So you get a little more control in those broadcasting type booths and, hardware type things, but want to go really old school, really cheap, because councils are publicly funded.
I was gonna say the council, I don't think they have the tech acumen or the funding to run a small recording studio.
No,
there's like, hey, exactly. Click Teams and put in your RTM, put in the key for YouTube plus the site, the security key, and off you go.
Yep, as you said, and it just works.
I did just try it whilst you two were talking then.
Are you going to try it? You're just going to stream us really quickly?
I did try to add it. So I went in, added the app, added the custom streaming app.
I have a public appearance fee that's required for using my likeness.
Well,
name and image likeness rights. So you can't just put me on YouTube.
You'll like this. Look in the chat and then you'll see what I got.
Martin, added custom streaming to the chat. You don't have streaming permission.
No,
that's being at Microsoft thing.
So you do need permissions to do it. I think you need to be organizer.
From your admin, right?
Yeah, you need the app. I think you need to be organizer, and then you need to be allowed to do it as well. So I cheekily just tried, and we don't have that here.
It just got cheekily slapped in the cheekilies.
Yeah. So I'll be trying that from another tenant another day, I think.
Time to move Teams Friday's recordings to an external tenant so we can just... Because the other thing is, like, you're talking NDI, OBS. Out of Teams, you can take individual NDI streams of each speaker. Yep. And then in OBS, you can control who's being seen, who's being whatever. But in NDI, it's probably the right idea. The NDI is blocked within Microsoft, because there is no security to NDI. So if somebody turns on an NDI stream, literally anyone on that LAN can subscribe to it and see and watch the meeting and watch the presentation.
Yeah.
So it is blocked at Microsoft because it's just an insecure, but at your home, you know, hopefully you know who's in your house or who's on your LAN. And so turn it on in that environment. Or, you know, create a segmented, or if you're, or if you're a corporation, Mike, how do we handle this? Create a segmented VLAN that has, you know, access to Teams, but is blocked from pretty much everything else. Well, it only needs access to the internet. So put it on an internet VLAN that has no access to your corporate LAN, and then do the NDI there.
So on the, yeah, looking at, so isolated audio feed capabilities and video streams out via AGA or Blackmagic Design. Apparently that is launched now as well. So as well as custom streaming, we've got some isolated audio feeds plus out via these specific hardware vendors as well.
Yeah, and I think that's super niche. That's pro audio video. Like we'll get plug in your pro audio video equipment, and we'll send a feed directly to that, and then you can use that equipment to
something else.
Do what you want to do. If you don't want to do NDI and you want to buy a several thousand dollar device instead,
maybe we need to do it that way. Maybe we need to get it for Teams Friday. We could become a professionally huge event.
This was actually announced back in September, along with the broadcast development kit for Teams.
That's it. Yeah, that as well. Yeah, you can do a lot with that, but I've not looked at it.
Don't you need like 76 servers in Azure to make it work?
I think you need a lot of hardware, and I'm struggling with my laptop as I'm owed to my thought about. So I have definitely not got the power to do anything like that. Teams meeting is just about as much as I can cope with. What were you going to say, Michael?
Nothing. Nothing useful.
Nothing useful.
As usual.
So how's your Xbox fridge?
It's gotten a promotion. It used to sit on the floor next to my filing cabinet. I have now put it on top of the filing cabinet.
Ah.
Next to the printer. So we've got my... This is just one of those first world problems. Why is it that I finally sprung and got a color laser printer?
Right.
Why is it that every time I use it, it tells me that some toner is out of ink? Every single time. I'm like, I replaced them all from the free ones. It's expensive. And every single time, one of them's out.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I just upgraded from an inkjet printer to a laser. Just a black and white laser. Because inkjet printers, you get about 20 prints out of it. And then, as you said, it's the same sort of thing. Something's out of ink, or I tried to print something the other day and everything came out in a pale blue. even if you choose monotone, if it's a color image that you're trying to print, it comes out. You know, and some things actually turn up and some things don't. And when you need that RFID the barcode or something for somebody to scan the far end.
Right.
It's super annoying when that doesn't actually turn up on the page. So I bought a laser printer, just a mono one. And apparently you get 1,000 pages per toner.
Yeah, apparently. See if you can get more than like 87. Because, I don't know. It's fine, but it's just annoying because I don't print that often. I don't print that much. I mean, it's a printer. What is this, the 90s? I got it just because, and every so often I need to print things like this recipe for Hungarian beef goulash. So I want to print that out. I don't want to use a tablet that, you know, when my hands get all whatever in the kitchen, I'll just have the piece of paper and then I throw it away when it's all stained and off we go. Yeah. So perfect use for old school technology, but always out of. Some toners about was running low.
Yeah, we found that during the when everybody was doing homeschooling and stuff, the kids needed to print out homework for the day or something like that, and it's like, oh, got to order another 40-pound kind of kit of toner and stuff. Yeah.
Here at Teams Fridays, learn about printing.
See,
do you want to talk about fax machines next?
Dude, I use that as a thing in training. Always check the always go to connectivity.office.com every time you set up Teams rooms on Windows, or even if it's Android, plug in a laptop, because you may have had no networking problems for 14 straight Teams rooms windows, but you're going to plug into that one network port that used to be a fax server or a fax machine that didn't auto-negotiate and could only handle a 10 meg link, and now your Teams Rooms meetings are terrible and it's going to be a long time until you decide to look at the configuration of the network switch. Whereas if you're on connectivity.office.com before Teams is even running, you're like, hey, we have a network problem right out of the gate. And so my example is that old fax machine, which you finally got rid of, that you had to set that switch port down to 10 meg.
Yeah.
Test your network before you go live. It takes 5 minutes of time.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you don't know, people go to connectivity.office.com to follow your nose. It's pretty cool.
It is really cool. I mean, what happened to that install tool? It was like PowerShell with a skin on top of it. It was like a test my network kind of.
Yeah, there was the Skype for Business network test.
No, there was a Teams one.
There's a Teams one now.
Yeah, we released it. That's still around.
We just released it for Teams. Within the last like 2 or 3 months.
All right.
Yep.
An interesting segue from fax machines. Decked phones are finally going to be added to the SIP gateway.
Yeah, Randy, I was listening to your podcast, and so you were talking about like a decked infrastructure.
Yeah.
So in my head, it's like, oh, it's just a phone that uses deck technology, so you can walk like, you know, a couple hundred meters away and still be on a call. But apparently there's more to it than just some cool wireless range technology.
Yeah. So if you've got a decked capable SIP phone that just takes SIP credentials and whatever else, then you can, you know, it's just a SIP phone. So you just attach it to whatever your VoIP gateway is. Obviously, that isn't the way the SIP gateway works with Microsoft. You've got to go and put in a provisioning URL, and it pulls down some details, and then you've got the Teams sign-in capability and do it that way. But with Decked for Business, it isn't just a phone. There is actually a bunch of base stations around the building. You know, think about wireless infrastructure. You've got hotspots all over the place. These are decked base stations, probably in the ceiling, on walls, above raised ceilings, and you know, all of the above, really, to try and create this what used to be called GAP. So effectively, you've got all these radios that are transmitting, and they've got a certain radius, and what you want is enough overlap that when you walk through areas of the building with this wireless phone, that you don't actually lose connectivity to this infrastructure. But then behind that infrastructure, you've also got a bunch of servers and other hardware that actually orchestrates not only all of the base stations all around the building, but all the phones themselves. So you don't actually mash keys on the phone itself to actually log into the SIP infrastructure or the SIP gateway. What you do is you go into this infrastructure on the back end and actually sign into the SIP service actually through that service, and then assign that to the phone generally. So how that will work with a SIP gateway, I'm not sure. But yeah, there are three vendors that were announced to be supported on the SIP gateway.
Like, what, off the top of my head, it wasn't like Spectralink was one?
Spectralink, Ashcom, and Poly with, I'm sure it was Yealink, and there was one other that was coming later. Yealink and Gigaset by September, it says. So it's still kind of a corner case having decked and whatever, but I think it'll be really interesting. When the SIP gateway was announced and we were allowed to reskin our VVX phones and old Cisco phones and things like that, that was definitely kind of version one of the SIP gateway. But everybody wants more. Everybody says, oh, when can I put my deck phone on there? When can I have my door entry system? When can I have my, you know, whatever else? And it means that, you know, if you don't have to have any hardware on-prem, a VoIP gateway on-prem, and just provision these things in the cloud and use them from the cloud, that's a great thing. So.
All right. I think we will wrap up there for today, I think. Thank you very much, Randy, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on your new role. I think you'll be awesome at Logitech's a great move.
So you're saying Logi does more than mice? Who knew? Who knew?
Now we know.
Definitely do.
All right. Thanks so much, everyone. Speak to you soon. All right. Bye.
All right.
Bye, everyone.